Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, infertility is a very personal struggle that many people face, but the immense emotional and psychological pressure surrounding it are often not well understood or discussed. And to talk more about this today, I'm joined in the studio by GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry, and from our Limerick studio by Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. And thank you both for being with us, Claire. Once again. This is a very sensitive topic, Harry, but it affects far more people than we might consider or know about.
I think this is one of the great, shall we say, hidden areas that typically in Ireland we just don't discuss at all. So I'm delighted we're actually bringing it to the surface. About one in seven couples, which is a huge number of couples, will really struggle with infertility. And infertility means that they're struggling to conceive, you know, a child to start with. And I think what happens is that because it's so hidden and because we're afraid, we're slightly ashamed to talk about it, really. I think a huge number of couples are under huge pressure and they don't feel comfortable coming out and publicly and talking about it. So I'm delighted we're kind of opening it up today.
You know? We certainly are. Anne-Marie, becoming a parent, it's a great time. It's emotional and joyful. So for someone who is struggling to become a parent or can't become a parent, it's just so difficult. To make no bones about it, it is tremendously difficult.
It is. It's incredibly difficult because if you want to become a parent, not everyone does, but many of us do. And if we want to, it's a really emotionally significant goal for us. And not meeting that goal or having doubt about whether it will happen for us is just so emotionally challenging. And it's really something money can't buy, becoming a parent. You know, you can try, but there's no guarantee. So that fact that it's so emotionally important and also very valued in society is what makes infertility so challenging. And it's something a lot of us take for granted. Infertility is something that we feel like it might happen to other people. It's not going to happen to us, right? But you don't know until you do know. And that is why it has such a big mental health impact, something so important and so valued in society. And I suppose another reason, a knock-on reason it can be so challenging, is that when other people around you start moving forward with their lives in relation to having children, you do feel out of sync with them. You feel a bit left behind. So you're going through this incredibly stressful experience and the people who'd be there to support you are moving on and achieving their goals. And they mightn't intentionally be excluding you from socialising, for example, but their lives will become more child-centred, and your social life of your peers will become more child-centred, more preoccupied with child-related events, and people will have less time to include you in these events. So that can be a knock-on effect that when you're really struggling with infertility, your support system mightn't be there.
And then you have things like the logistics, the financial cost, mm-hmm. the physical toll that it's going to take on your body, all of those things play into the emotional burden of this.
Yeah, all of these things. So the logistics are very challenging because often if infertility isn't spoken about, you mightn't have disclosed that you're trying to undergo treatment, for example, or that you're looking into it. So then you might have appointments that you need to disguise. You might have days where you're feeling really low. You might find pregnancy announcements at work challenging, for example. And all of those things are really, really challenging. And of course, that's even if you can afford, I suppose, the treatment. So those bits really exacerbate the experience and it can be really isolating for people. I think what is particular about the challenge of infertility that makes it isolating is people don't really necessarily want to say they're going through it. It's so deeply personal. So you're not getting the support you need. And I think that might be because being able to have children is so valued in society and is something a lot of us dream about. So when you don't meet that goal, you might feel a little bit ashamed, as Harry said, even though you shouldn't.
Yeah, Harry, just talk to us about your own experience of dealing with people who are facing the problems that Anne-Marie has outlined there. What are the common struggles that you hear about?
I think Anne-Marie has really put that very, very well, beautifully there. But I find there are four four different situations. The first one is the initial psychological impact of infertility, because everybody assumes, oh, she will just decide to have a child, within 3 months we'll be pregnant and so on, or the lady will be pregnant. But in fact, after about 6 or 9 months or 12 months, when the person starts to get very, very anxious, and then what begins to happen, which is very subtle, is they start to become ashamed. And shame is all about what will other people think of me. So when people start talking about, oh, you're not making any moves yet, do you know what I mean? Or they start talking, parents start talking about other people that they know, and the little hints are being dropped, and you're desperately trying to become pregnant at that time. I think many people get very anxious and frustrated. But I think the one that actually is probably really very, very hidden is the psychological impact of what happens when you get investigated. Because inevitably, most couples will say, after, say, maybe 12 months or so, they'll say, fine, we'll go for tests. And suddenly we find that either the man has low sperm or low motility, or the girl has some issues with ovulation or implantation or whatever. And suddenly then this throws the whole thing into. So there's this kind of quiet thing where one is looking at the other, you know, who's the problem? Do you know what I mean? And sometimes it's both people have a bit of the problem. So there can be a little bit of depression, feeling I'm a failure. Do you know what I mean? Because of this, we can feel ashamed. Do you know what I mean? That what would other people, if they learned, for example, that we can't get pregnant because my sperm count is low? So many men will find that very, very challenging. And then we have the mother and father of them all, IVF. And the psychological impact of IVF, I don't think we discuss half enough at all. IVF is so challenging. I've seen the pressure of IVF almost crush couples. And I think, you know, that's the enormous cost of it. I think it's the huge amount of time involved. I think it's the effects of hormone injections on women who they really hate. And the pressures on the relationship, you know. And then that leads to all these, other emotions like anxiety, you know, will this work?
And anxiety about the future of the
relationship.
About
the future, and shame, do you know what I mean, if it doesn't work, and guilt and grief, do you know what I mean? We never talk about the grief, the terrible grief. It's almost like a miscarriage. Do you know what I mean?
The grief.
If you go through,
the
whole thing and suddenly it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
And Anne-Marie, those conversations when they are had around infertility and around the treatments, they can be very gendered, can't they?
They can be very gendered. And that's the experience of a lot of men who are undergoing treatment as the partner, I suppose, or investigations themselves. So the issues can relate to men, to women, to both, or to be unexplained. But discussions of infertility often focus, say, on the age of the woman who's trying to conceive. And of course, that's relevant, but that can sometimes overshadow how complex infertility might be. And it might have the effect unintentionally of sidelining the men in the conversation. So the result of that is that studies who have talked with men who experience male factor infertility, they find it quite difficult to talk about. And that might be in part because we sideline them unintentionally in the conversation. But I suppose a really big reason why men might find it difficult to talk about is that so much of masculinity is bound up in this idea of being able to have children, right? So men who experience this might describe themselves as less than other men, or a sense of grief and a sense of guilt for not being able to give their partner what they want. So they can really experience infertility as quite emasculating, and that does affect the relationship with the partner then. And of course, that's not to say that it's not immensely challenging for women who are, I suppose, to get very technical, the site of a lot of the investigations, right? But men do feel sidelined. There's this cultural expectation that women are more invested as well in becoming parents than men. And that can shut down opportunities for men to say how the experience is affecting them.
OK, so it can be a dark place for both people in that couple and for the couple as a unit to be in. So let's talk then about how people get through this, people who are struggling with infertility issues, perhaps going through treatment, Harry, how can they protect their relationship and themselves?
Well, the first thing is I have a few golden rules that I always try and open up at the very start when I have this discussion. And one of my core things is, look, Claire, when we get married, when we meet somebody we love, when we decide we're going to live our lives together, children are kind of a part of that story in some cases, but you don't meet and love and marry a person simply to have children. You meet and marry them because you love each other. And I always start with that with people, and I say, never lose sight of the fact during this whole process that you're a lovely a husband and wife who care about each other, who want, do you know what I mean, the best for each other and plan to live their lives with each other. And if you can keep that as your star, do you know what I mean, you'll never go too far wrong. The second thing I always try to say is the process may fail, but you are not a failure as a person. And that is vital. It doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female. It doesn't matter whether you're the recipient of IVF or whatever. If this process fails, it's not you that's failing. Mm-hmm. It's the process that's failing. And that's very important for men in particular. Do you know what I mean? So the third thing I would say is that my advice to couples, traditionally through the years, is it's a bit like the old baseball thing, three strikes and you're out. I usually say to people, look, the trauma to most couples of IVF is so severe that I would strongly suggest three times, do you know what I mean? And then sit back and have a good long think, do you know what I mean?
So you're talking about three rounds of IVF.
Three rounds of IVF and then stop and take a break. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people decide, no, I couldn't do it. I just can't do that any longer. And that's absolutely fine. But what's quite extraordinary about Mother Nature, we've often seen this, that people will go through all of this heartache, all of the IVF, nothing happening. And they'll actually stop and they'll almost forget and they'll try and go back to having a normal life. And suddenly a baby arrives.
Yeah, that can happen.
And how often we have seen that.
And Anne-Marie, can I ask you what you would add to Harry's advice there for couples who are going through this?
Yeah, so I think that advice about focusing on the couple first is really important and having open conversations, I guess, about the situation. I also wouldn't rule out counselling. So that could be individual counselling around fertility, and it could also be couples counselling, because your life is going to look different if you had hoped to live it with children and you're not going to now. And of course, people might differ on agreeing, for example, how many rounds of IVF they want to go through. Maybe one person wants to continue and one doesn't. So there can be additional stressors cropping up that counselling might help with. I would also say that a lot of the stress can come from outside of the situation too. It can come from people making those kind of intrusive comments or unwanted comments about, is there any news? And so on. And perhaps disclosing your situation to people you trust might be helpful when you need someone to vent to, or when you need somebody to conceal the appointments you're going through if you don't want to be telling everyone about them. So I think disclosing to somebody you trust, even though it is a hugely personal issue, could also be helpful.
Yeah, Harry, we all need to be sensitive. I think most people are aware now that they shouldn't ask, you know, those questions.
Yes. Yeah.
When is Jimmy going to have a brother or a sister?
Yes.
Just don't do it. But it's good to remind ourselves.
I think, honestly, as a society, we need to be a lot more aware that there's a lot of people out there who are really suffering and are struggling. And we're back to empathy again. If we have the empathy to kind of sense, no, look, this is this person, you know, doesn't really want to go there. Well, the chances are very high that this person is really struggling with this. So it's not my place to go there. Now, what you can do is say to the person, look, I'm always here for you. Do you know what I mean? If you ever want to have a chat about anything, do you know what I mean? And also to really important that as a society, we have somehow got to encompass all these couples who don't have children as part of our social world. Do you know what I mean? We can't just say, well, you know, it's if you have children, fine, you're part of us. But if you don't have children, we don't want
you're
to
excluded,
know you. Do you
so
know
we need to,
so we need to have a much
well.
Wider.
Yes, yeah. Worth saying that too.
Yeah,
Thank
yeah.
you both very much for coming in and for joining us, Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven. We'll have more for you after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice on relief from hay fever at All Care Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Over recent months, we've all been dealing with the reality of rising energy costs, and we've all been making changes to reduce our energy use. However, if you are having trouble paying your energy bills, be sure to talk to your supplier as soon as possible. There are a range of protections in place for customers. Organisations such as MABS and Alone can also help. For information on these and all other supports available, visit gov.ie/reduce-your-use. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why.
The Lotto jackpot is a guaranteed 2 million euro. Play responsibly in-store, in-app or at lottery.ie. The National Lottery. It could be you.
No matter how busy we are, how can we make the most of our lives each day? By spending quality time together or spending time giving back. However you spend each day, spend it doing what matters to you with Debit MasterCard. Because a life well spent is truly priceless. Learn more at mastercard.ie.
RTE Radio 1.
The National.
The system only dreams in total dark.
Live at Three Arena, September 21st.
Oh, what happened to the wavelength?
Tickets available now.
Finally hits me a mile's drive.
Presented by Aiken Promotions.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Bring you some news now from the Oireachtas Health Committee. The cost of the new National Children's Hospital is expected to top €2 billion. This is according to the head of the hospital's board. He warned that unless the contractor changes its behaviour, further delays and so even higher costs may occur. The Health Committee was also told that under 1% of the rooms due to have been built at this stage have been completed. The expected cost of simply building, not commissioning the hospital, is now €2.2 billion. And another quick one for you. The European Parliament has voted to pass the EU flagship nature restoration law. They adopted the proposals, but they need to negotiate now the final text. And there will be more on RTE on that throughout the day. But that's all we have time for. Thank you for listening. You can catch up with anything you missed on the RTE Radio app. The programme was produced by the series producer, Alistair McConnell. Research by Ciarán Dunn. Jarlath Holland was our broadcast coordinator. And Liam Mullen was on sound today. Now it's over to Neil Doherty.